We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, if you bleed blue and white,
you need to drink blue and light.
That's the voice of Andrew P. Shea. I am Jim Galante, and we're going to bring it home strong with our favorite topic, the transfer portal.
Has there been a week in the spring where we have not?
No.
Even since this entire offseason?
No, there has not.
Transfer portal, transfer portal.
We're going to talk about it, I hope, in a little bit different manner. Not just about going to the transfer portal, but what are the ramifications of it? What does it mean going forward? And are we changing the game with the transfer portal? You're usually the one with some numbers. I'm going to give you a few just for a little background. First of all, I did a little looking. Essentially, if you're a team that is anyone in the college football world, by anyone I mean an elite team, a traditional great team, you've been affected by the portal.
Yeah, nobody has been.
Let me just read off.
Yeah.
Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Texas, Florida State. That's a who's who of the college football world. Let me give you a couple of names of players. How about Justin Fields, Tate Martell, Jalen Hurts, Kellen Bryant from Clemson, Brandon Wimbush. I mean, these guys.
Quarterbacks.
These are the elite. Not only that, I counted. There are 21, or have been this year, 21 four-star or better quarterbacks in the transfer portal. This is just the way of the world now, isn't it, Andy?
It's the quarterback position. It's the most important position, obviously. And all of those guys that you said, 21, 4, and 5 stars, they all think and want to play sooner than later. And now this has given them an opportunity that if they can't win something on their own accord, they get a free pass. They get an out. And it seems, based on the NCAA, that if you play quarterback and you apply for some kind of exception, that you're going to get it, whether you have a legitimate exception or not. So it seems across, if you're a grad transfer, that's one thing. That's a different scenario. But it seems for the quarterback position that there is no rhyme or reason to approving exceptions right away. So why not take advantage of it if you're a player? You absolutely should. If you don't think you can come back, say if you're Justin Fields and don't think you can beat out Jake Fromm at Georgia and play this year because you were in the mix last year and didn't do it, and you can get an exception, you should go to someplace you can play right away. But be careful what you wish for.
As we talked about prior to the show, you and I were talking, they're giving the waivers out like Chiclets if you're a quarterback. Just don't be an offensive lineman from Coastal Carolina.
Right.
Then it won't work. If you want to know what I'm talking about, just Google the name Brock Hoffman, and you'll learn what I'm saying. So, Andy, this has become the new norm. If you're a quarterback and you can only play one quarterback, a guy like Justin Fields, he's not going to sit for 3 years waiting to get the job. He goes to Ohio State. If you're Tate Martell, you say, hey, I'm not going to wait. Obviously, they brought in Justin Fields to start, so I'm going to move on. And has the waiver reached the point where it's so ridiculous that they should just say there's freedom to leave?
No, they've created their own major penalty monster. In other words, the line that they could have, that they already had drawn in the sand in terms of grad transfer and non-grad transfer, they blurred the line of their own accord. It's a self-inflicted wound. They did it to themselves. The NCAA did it to themselves. It wasn't like the players or college football went out looking for stretches of examples to create an exception. They just had to create something because if you're a quarterback, the NCAA was going to approve it. So it's the growing pains of something that's new, but the self-inflicted wound that they did to themselves in terms of grad transfer and non-grad transfer when it came to the quarterback position just is mind-boggling to me.
Well, let's talk about something you alluded to, Andy, which was the be careful what you wish for. Now, I'm going to use Ohio State as an example. Justin Fields transfers in. Immediately, the quarterback room is blown up.
Yeah, two guys have transferred out.
They had two quarterbacks transfer, so they have very little depth.
Correct.
As long as Justin Fields is healthy, okay, everything is hunky dory. But and let's fast forward this now to Tommy Stevens, and there's been some talk, some rumors, maybe Rutgers, maybe Illinois are some of the ones that I've heard. But are you also going to create turmoil in a quarterback room when you bring someone in when there's already an incumbent who has won the position and probably the loyalty of his teammates?
Yeah, the arriving is always more what's the right word I'm looking for? It is more disruptive than the departure. The arrival is always more is almost always more disruptive than the departure. Like, look at Nebraska last year.
I'm betting the departure is probably a good thing in a lot of places. It takes away the controversy. Georgia knows who their quarterback is.
Correct.
There's no dissension there.
And they made that crystal clear. And based on James Franklin made it crystal clear not who his quarterback was, but what the situation was coming out of spring practice. He made that crystal clear to Tommy, to Sean, to Will. So and Tommy couldn't accept it.
How's this going to play out for Tommy going forward?
Well,
I know we can't see the future, but
yeah, he's
just looking around. Are there places that he fits perfect, that it's going to be a great fit for him?
I don't want to look at programs and say where they fit. I have a gut feeling that Tommy's chomping to play, period. He's been chomping to play for 3 years when he lost the battle to Trace McSorley back in the day, as we could say now. But I'm not sure there's a horse for the course, like, perfect fit for him, because he's a little unique as a quarterback. Yes, he can throw, but his biggest asset is his legs, not his arm. So that's a little bit of a unique twist for him. It's not even a 50-50 balance. His legs are definitely more of a weapon than his arm. It doesn't mean his arm is poor, but it just means he has that as a most valuable weapon. If he wants to play, my gut tells me the best opportunity for him to play right away and not have to really fight for it would be at an FCS school, not at an FBS school. I mean, even at places where the quarterback room is thin, he's still got some work to do to win a job, and it's pretty late in the game. Spring practice is over, guys.
Well, I'm with you. I think going to that lower level, go to a place that has the reputation of throwing the ball, rack up some numbers. We've seen it before. Joe Flacco from Delaware. Where's Carson Wentz from? What is it? North Dakota State?
North Dakota State.
I mean, they'll find you, and I think if he goes somewhere and if he wants to play on Sundays, which that's what he and his dad have said, go someplace where he's not going to run the ball all the time. He can throw the ball, put up the statistics, and then go to the combine and wow them there with his athleticism.
The best thing for Tommy would be to find some place where his best asset is best utilized, right?
Well, are you saying his best asset is running the ball?
His best asset is running the football.
But this is about him getting to the NFL.
Right.
And running the ball isn't necessarily how you get to the NFL. I think he needs to go somewhere that's, say, we throw the ball 30 times. He's going to rack up touchdowns and yardage, and he's going to look good with the numbers. So I think that's in his best interest if it's talking about making it to the NFL. That you're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and the Keystone Sports app. Go to your app store, search on Keystone Sports, download it, and you could hear all of our stuff. Let's go back to the Penn State angle on all this. First of all, I got to ask you right off, were you Team Tommy or Team Sean?
I was... Me personally, I said it 13 months ago that in 2019, Penn State starting quarterback would be Sean Clifford.
Okay.
I said that before last spring.
So
I was a Team Sean, not because I had anything against Tommy. I just, in my opinion, Sean's better.
And I think what I'm in agreement with you, and I think what makes him better is he's just playing an accurate passer.
Correct.
He does have all the other skills, but his accuracy, I think, is what sets him apart. So I do think even short term, the only downside to this is an injury to Sean Clifford. You don't have the experienced guy right behind him like Tommy Stevens. But now, going forward, this also moves everybody up a notch. Correct. Will Levis is now the backup.
Correct.
Will Levis is now one play away from playing.
I don't think Penn State and the coaching staff has a problem with that at all.
And the true freshman, one of them's going to be a third stringer.
Correct.
So it also became, it was almost like Coach Franklin was prepared for this by bringing in two quarterbacks. So they now have four scholarship quarterbacks there. He probably would have preferred five, but
shocking,
he's got four.
James Franklin being prepared.
But
shocking.
Does this turn into, you know, a discussion already? Two freshmen who should still be seniors in high school, and we're already discussing which one's going to transfer.
Oh, my gosh, no. The what I see it as is it puts accelerant on the development. Right. So this puts in the quarterback room overall big picture, everyone bumps up. So this is a best scenario for the true freshmen. They're not buried any longer. Which one of you is going to develop faster and which one of you is going to find a spot on the depth chart when you go 1, 2, 3? Hello, battle accelerated.
Yeah, there is. But are they not this year going to designate one of them as the third stringer, which means one guy's ahead of the other?
No.
And if it's Roberson and you're Johnson, do you look at this and say, hey, wait a minute?
No, they're not going to designate one of them as the third quarterback. They're going to have two guys, one, two, and then two guys who are 3-4. I can't see James cutting off himself at the knees already by putting one of them three.
So it'll be Clifford, Levis, and then under number three, it'll be Roberson or Johnson.
Correct. And they'll probably do it alphabetically. And they'll probably tell them that. No, you don't. But they get all the three reps, all the, you know, the practice time, the development that they do at the quarterback position at Penn State, which is proven to be pretty darn good. Now we get to put some accelerant on it in terms of the two freshmen, which is good for them.
I'll tell you what, the accelerant is a good way to put it, because now with the quarterback portal, or with the portal and the way the quarterbacks use it, you just know guys are not going to stick around that long.
Right.
And you are going to probably have to recruit two quarterbacks every year just because of attrition. Andrew P., thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's it for our show. Next week, we'll have the regular crew back. Join us then.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.